for those who are here, those who are watching, those who will watch. And I pray that our hearts and our minds will be filled with the Spirit of God. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Transcribe this letter word into a spirit word. And I pray that our lives, our homes, our businesses, our jobs, our children, our families will be changed for the better after having heard the word of truth in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles, hold them up real high, say, and repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've been using the month of June as a random message month. That means that each message that I'm doing may not relate to each other, but I believe they will be beneficial to you and where you are as a person, as well as us as a church. And so the last time, which was 2 weeks ago, I did a message called The Promise, The Principle, and The Practice of Favor. Everybody say the promise, the principle, and the practice of favor. And so today I'm going to do a part two of that same message, but the title is The Practice of Favor. The practice of favor. And if you need the notes today, raise your hand and our ushers will give you the notes. And I want to encourage you that unless something pops out at you, do your best to focus on what's being said instead of that which you want to write, unless God really inspires something. Because most, if not all of the scriptures that I'm using are on the notes. Amen. Now, in our previous message, we looked at several occurrences of favor that have been mentioned throughout the Bible. And this helped us to see that favor, everybody say favor. Favor is not only scriptural, but favor is something that God wants his people to experience. And so what we did, we covered the fact that favor is a principle. Everybody say favor is a principle. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because a principle is something that is constant, something that is consistent, something that we can rely on. And so we discovered that favor is a principle. And because God is a God of principles, we can activate favor by following God's prescribed way of releasing it. So if you missed the first message, I want to encourage you to go back and watch it or listen to it, because faith doesn't come by having heard. Faith does not come by remembering. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So today our focus is going to be on practicing the principle and the protocol for favor, because I believe, and I'm going to teach you today, that there are things that you and I can do on a regular basis that will keep us in an environment of favor. I'm not talking about temporary favor. I'm not talking about inconsistent favor. I'm talking about walking in consistent favor because you know how to trigger it. Say amen to that. Amen. And so the goal of the message today is to release, I want to teach you how to release your faith with your actions to receive the promises of favor. So I have the first point. If you're taking notes, the first point, and I'm going fast because I'm going to, in fact, I'm going to need my magnets. I don't know where Bruce is, but I'm going to need those. The first point is faith is the magnet to favor. Faith is the magnet to favor. Everybody say faith is the magnet to favor. Now, in our first lesson, remember that I pointed out that God, He's a God of principles and protocol and promises. What does that mean? That means that principles is what God wants us to do. The protocol is how he wants us to go about doing it. And then, of course, the promises are what we receive by obeying the principles and the protocol. Well, the first thing we must know is that all, everybody say all. All of the promises that God has made in his word, they all must be received through faith. And since favor is a promise, we must receive favor by faith as well. Now you say, why is that, Pastor Evan? Well, first of all, faith is necessary even for us to get saved. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. So faith is necessary not only for salvation, but is necessary to receive the promises of God. As a matter of fact, faith is the foundation of how we are to please God. Hebrews 11:6, most of you all know this verse. They're going to put it on the screen. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he, the person that comes to God, they must believe that God is. And they also must believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I like that. Now notice it didn't say that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Because there are many people that may seek God. But it says he rewards those who diligently seek him. There's a difference between seeking and diligently seeking. Can you agree with me on that? I mean, if you lost a $5 bill in your house, you would probably look for that $5 bill. But if you lost $500 in your house, you're going to look for that $500 different than you would that $5. Can you agree with that? Amen. And so God rewards those, not just those who seek him. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And so that verse we just read tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. But it is also telling us that with faith, it's possible to please God. Simply put, let me give you just a synopsis of what faith is all about. Faith is choosing to believe what God has said and then taking some action to what was said so that you can experience what he said he would give you. Amen. So faith can be viewed as a magnet. Everybody say faith. Can be viewed as a magnet. Amen. Now, what I'm going to do here in just a second, I am going to do an illustration that I believe will bless you. But I want you to see the faith that God put inside of you like a magnet. And it's designed to pull the promises of God into your life. In fact, if you learn how to use your faith, which by the way, if you haven't learned yet, let me just encourage you to just obey God. Because before I knew how to exercise my faith, I just obeyed God. I just did what he told me to do. And that's faith in action anyway. Oh, yeah. Amen. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 30. Because here's the point that I'm reading this. I want to show you that it takes faith to obtain the promises of God. It says in verse 30. I'm reading out of the King James. By faith. Everybody say by faith. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. After they circled around it 7 days. Verse 31. By faith, everybody say by faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Verse 32. And then he says, well, what more can I say? For the time would fail for me to talk about Gideon. And the time would fail for me to talk about Barak. The time would also fail me if I had to talk about Samson and of Jephthah and even David and Samuel and all of the prophets. But then verse 33, he says, who, all of those people, they did something. They, through their faith, they subdued kingdoms. And through their faith, they wrought righteousness. Watch this now. And through their faith, they obtained what? Promises. So it takes faith to obtain the promises of God. And so your faith is like a magnet. It will pull the promises of God into your life. So not only is faith the magnet to the promises of God, but faith, listen church, is also the magnet to the promise of favor. See, in the first lesson I showed you that favor is not just a principle, it's a promise. Which means now that I can use my faith to obtain the favor of God for my life. And if you know how to do that, your faith will act as a magnet. So I have two magnets up here. And I don't know, when I was a kid, how many have played with magnets before? All right. Now magnets work kind of funny. But they work like faith does. See, I have two of them here. Now, if you put the magnets in the right direction, they are designed to come together. And when you are operating your faith, it will pull the promises of God into your life. You won't even have to work hard about it. It will do it just like these magnets. See, I can feel, even though I'm far apart, I can feel these magnets tugging. But see, the problem is, they're not gonna come together. It's actually forcing me. I can't do it. Unless I get them close enough. See that? One, it's repelling. But when I put it on the other side, guess what happens? It comes together. That's what your faith does to the promises of God. It will pull the promises of God into your life. But here's the problem. Most people, they're not functioning in faith. They're functioning in fear. And fear works just like faith. The only problem is fear will not let it come together. And most people don't know that they're functioning in fear. Or if they're not in fear, they're in doubt and unbelief. Meaning that I'm not sure if God's going to do what he's going to do. Let me tell you something about God. He's not a liar and he's not going to start with you. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. So Romans chapter 5, I'm getting ready to read a verse. And in this verse, I'm going to show you that faith can act as a magnet to pull favor into your life. It says now in Romans chapter 5 verse 1 in the King James, he says, therefore being justified or made right by faith, you and I, we have peace with God. And that's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us peace with God. Verse 2, it says, by whom Jesus, he also gave us access. And that word access is the word admission. You know how you can't get into the state fair unless they give you a ticket, and that ticket gives you admission. Well, Jesus has given us admission, watch this now, by faith to do what? To get into the grace. That word grace is the word favor. So Jesus gives us access or admission by using our faith, watch this, to get into the grace or the favor that we need. So your faith is necessary for you to experience the favor of God. Now that verse is based on the definition of favor. If we read it like we did last week, it would read this way. Therefore, being justified or made right by faith, you and I, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access or admission by faith into this excessive kindness and this preferential treatment that he causes, where we are approved of things, and that God causes divine influence to come on the heart of people so that they can bless us and use their power and their ability and their influence and their resources to be a blessing to us. Amen. This past week we were in Italy, Cherise and I, and we decided to go to the Gucci store in Italy. Well, when we got there, there was a line outside. I'm not used to a line. But I wasn't in Dallas. But see, favor is a principle. And a principle works everywhere, not in just one place. So it's a group of people. And so we're just standing there. And I noticed that the people, the workers in the store, were looking at me. They was looking like, this is what they call somebody else. And they're just looking at us. And next thing you know, they come out a door in the front. Here's the main door. Here's another set of doors right here. They come through the other door and invited Sharice and I, and we left all those people in line. Everybody say preferential treatment. Listen, listen, listen. Those people did not know me. But guess who knew me? Favor did. Amen. So now that we know that faith is like a magnet so that we can experience favor, here's the question. How do you and I practically exercise our faith so favor can flow? Well, here's point number two if you're taking notes. And that is, we're going to talk about how to practice faith for favor. How do we practice faith for favor? So let's look at some things that we can practice that will activate our faith so the promise of favor flows. And some of these things that I'm going to talk about, I'm really only going to talk about three things because there are some more. But these things you may already be doing, but the problem may be you may be doing them without expectation. So I'm going to call these things faith practices that release favor. Everybody say faith practices that release favor. You say, well, Pastor Evan, what is that? I'm telling you now some practicing, some things that you and I can practice so that favor can flow in our life. Amen. Now this first faith practice, I'm not going to tell you what it is until the end. But what we're going to see is that this first faith practice is discovered and then re-verified in the New Testament. And we're going to discover this faith practice in the life of Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we're going to see what she did to access or obtain the favor of God. This is in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to read a little bit. I'm reading out of the King James Version. And it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was who, church? Mary. It was Mary. Look in verse 28. And the angel came in to her and said, hail Mary, you are highly favored. He didn't just say she was favored. He said she was highly favored. Now, I don't know about you. I don't mind being favored, but I prefer to be highly favored. Mary was highly favored. And then he said, and the Lord was with her. He said, blessed are you among women. So watch verse 29. And so when she saw this angel, she was troubled at the saying. And she cast in her mind what manner of greeting this is. Watch verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Read it with me, church. For you have found favor with God. Wow. Mary found favor with God. So when I'm studying, I ask myself questions that I think you would ask yourself so that I can answer a question that you didn't ask me that I thought you would. Did you get that? So I asked myself this question while I was studying. What did Mary do to activate God's favor in her life? I mean, that's a legitimate question, is it? Isn't it? Well, let me say this. In most cases, not all, but in most cases in the Bible, something had to be done by somebody for favor to be released. And so as I reviewed Mary's life, I found the principle that she practiced that released God's favor in her life. Now, we're getting ready to read another verse of scripture that helps us identify what Mary did. Because Mary wasn't just favored. She was highly favored. And the Bible says that favor came from God. So my question is, what did Mary do? So here's the context of what we're about to read now. There was Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. So Mary went to go visit Elizabeth because she found out Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. So Elizabeth and Mary were exchanging words. And so Elizabeth said something to Mary. And what we're about to read is the response that Mary gave Elizabeth. This is now Luke chapter 1, verse 46. I'm reading out of the NIV version this time. It says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Notice Mary had a relationship with God. Do you see that? Verse 48, watch this now. For he, God, has been mindful, watch this description, of the humble state of his servant. That tells us that Mary was a humble individual. Can you all agree with me on that? All right, look now. It says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Watch verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered, watch this now, those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. Notice now, God scatters those who are proud. Verse 52. He, God, has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up, who, church? The humble. Now I want you to notice in verse 48, it said that Mary was humble. And then in verse 52, it tells us that God lifts up the humble. So we can see that being humble was a characteristic of Mary. Can we agree with that, church? Yes. And being humble, watch this, is a practice that releases the flow of favor in our life. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world did you come up with that? Well, let's re-verify it in James chapter 4. I'm about to show you now that one of the characteristics that you and I can practice on a daily basis is humility, or being humble. And being humble is one of the things that attracts favor into your life. Watch this now. James chapter 4 verse 6. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, but he, speaking of God, he gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. Yeah, that word more means larger or big. God gives big grace. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you prefer, because if there's a such thing as large grace, then there's a such thing as small grace. Which one would you prefer, large grace or small grace? Large grace, yes, large grace. Watch what happens here. It says, God gives more grace. That word grace is the same word favor that we just read about with Mary. When it says, you are highly favored, same word, grace here. He says, wherefore, God says, God resists who? The proud. That sounds like what we just read over there with Mary. But God gives grace. There's the word favor again. He gives grace. Well, let's see who he gives grace to. He gives grace to the who? To the humble. So all you and I have to do is learn how to walk humbly, and favor will flow in our life. Now you say, Pastor, what does a humble mean? Well, being humble is the opposite of pride. See, pride is when we choose to trust ourselves over trusting God. I'm going to say that again. Pride is us trusting us over us trusting God. It's trusting in what we have. It's trusting in who we know. It's trusting in what we know. And humility is the opposite. It is trusting in who God is. It is trusting in what he knows. And it's trusting in what he says. Because, see, Mary had to trust God to do something. Watch this. He actually altered Mary's life. She trusted him even though her life was going to change forever. He asked her to allow him to get her pregnant. Can you imagine the criticism that she got? Everybody didn't believe she got filled or be pregnant by the Holy Ghost. You get pregnant as a single woman and go tell your coworkers the Holy Ghost got you pregnant. Can you imagine the criticism, the potential criticism that she received from people that knew her and didn't know her, telling them that she got pregnant? So she had to humble herself and trust God's way for her life. Amen. And pride is when we choose to trust ourselves. Humility is when we choose to trust God. And this is why Mary was a powerful individual. She humbled her will to God's will. So we can see that humility was a key that caused the favor of God to come into Mary's life. And you know what? That's simple. Listen, it's simple. So if you want to see the favor of God flow in your life, just walk consistently with humility. See, I tell people all the time, if you get on the ground, you can't go no further. I said, if you get on the ground, you can't go no further. See, if when you're dealing with God, He wants you all the way down here. See, you can't fall if you're already on the ground. Actually, the Bible says, what does God do to the humble? What did we just read? James, he says, God lifts up the humble. So when God picks me up, you can't make me fall. So here's a take home statement. Here's a take home statement. Stay low and God will give you more. I know it's more, and I know you educators are having a problem with that. I'm just trying to make it rhyme. I'm going to say it again just to irritate you. Stay low and God will give you more. Everybody say, stay low. And God will give you more. Amen. And so that's our first one. Humility, being humble, will cause the favor of God to flow. Here's the second faith practice for favor. And that's doing what's good. So many people in life have allowed negative people's spirits to infect them that they stop doing good, which now takes them out of the favor equation. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. Let's see what Jesus did with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about and he did what, church? He did good and he healed all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. Listen to Proverbs chapter 11 verse 27. I'm talking about doing good. This is another thing that you and I can practice for favor to flow into our life. This is why you can't let people get you upset. So upset that you stop doing good. It says, he that diligently seeks good procures favor, but he that seeks mischief, it shall come unto him. Favor comes to those who do good. Listen to the amplified of that verse. It says, he who diligently seeks good seeks favor and grace, but he who seeks evil, evil will come to him. And when you look up that word good, it means to show kindness and show welfare. So that verse can read like this. He who diligently seeks to show kindness and welfare seeks grace or favor. Listen to Proverbs chapter 12 verse 2. It says, a good man. What kind of man? Let me define that, okay? Because you wouldn't be called a good man unless you did good things. I mean, the reason they call people evil is because what that person did caused them to be evil. So when it's talking about a good man, it's just not talking about a person who's doing nothing. This is a person whose life or their actions produce good things. And so he says a good man obtains what? Favor from who? What kind of man gets that favor? Okay, so if I'm doing good things, God's going to cause favor to flow in my life. In fact, this is what happened to Ruth. We're going to briefly read a story of Ruth. It was the good things that Ruth did that caused favor to attract in her life. And the problem with most people is we get weary in well-doing and we stop doing good things. Watch what happened with Ruth. Ruth chapter 2 verse 8. It was her faithfulness to her mother-in-law of her doing good that qualified her to receive favor from Boaz. See, most people think that Boaz, you know, what attracted him to Ruth was that she was fine. And she might have been. I don't know. But that wasn't the very thing that attracted him to her. So sisters, if you're single, raise your hand. If you're single, raise your hand. You know what? Looks are good. But see, a real man is looking for you to do good. Watch this now. Then Boaz said to Ruth, I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. He said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one. But I want you to stay here and stay close to my maids. He says, watch which field that they reap from, and then I want you to follow behind them. He says, I've commanded the servants not to touch you. And when you are thirsty, he says, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she kneeled face down and she bowed to the ground and she said to Boaz, why, read it with me, church, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should notice me because I'm a foreigner? I mean, that's a good question. Why are you favoring me? Well, let's see why he favored her. He said in verse 11, Boaz answered her, because you were fine as a dime with some change left over. Because you got a BBL. Is that what it say, church? No, no, no. Listen to what he said. He says, I have been made fully aware of everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and your land of your birth, and you've come to a people that you did not know. He says, may the Lord repay you for your kindness, your good deeds, and may your reward be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You know what he was saying to her? He said, listen, the reason I noticed you is because you are a doer of good. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. The problem is, listen to this. The problem with us is we start doing good and we get tired. But the scripture tells us, be not weary in doing good, because in due season, you're going to reap. Favor's going to come if you don't faint or if you don't give up doing good. And that's the problem. So what happens? We don't see the favor reward that will come eventually. We get tired of doing good. Well, Matthew chapter 5, listen to what Jesus said. He says, you've heard it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Love your ex. Everybody look straight. You won't know who I'm talking to. Love them. He said, bless them that do what? Curse you. Here's the next one that I want you to see. He says, do what? Do good to them that hate you. Why is he telling us to do that? Because one of the principles that releases favor into your life is you doing good. We just read over there in the Old Testament that when we do good, we get favor from the Lord. Do y'all see that? All right, so here's our third one. This is the one that I want to labor on right here. Because this one right here. And you know, unfortunately, I'm going to get some criticism on this one. But I'm going to show you that this one is probably the most powerful. Our third faith practice for favor is grace will grow when you learn how to sow. Everybody say grace will grow when you learn how to sow. I believe, now this is my personal belief. I typically don't say what I believe, but I'm going to say it right now. I believe the very thing that the average person despise is the very thing that will cause them to rise, and that's sowing. You know what? I've learned that I can get ahead faster in life when I've learned how to sow. And in this context, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about sowing, period. Now, the context of what we're about to read, the context is talking about giving offering, but I want to show you a principle in it that you and I can exercise for faith to flow. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Paul says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. He says, I know how eager you are to help. And I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. He says, in fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. I believe a person's giving can stir up in a good way the enthusiasm of other people. And this is one of the reasons when I give, some of it is public, but I want you to know what it is so I can stir you up. Because see, some of you all are stuck at levels because, watch this now, you have done as much as your hands can do. Listen, there's nothing wrong with hard work, but our parents proved that that won't make you rich. See, I need God working for me while I'm asleep, and the only thing that can do that is seed and favor. He says, but I'm sending, verse 3, I'm sending these brothers to be sure you're ready, as I've been telling them, and that your money is all collected. He says, I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and they found that you weren't ready after all I've told them about you. So verse 5 says, so I thought I should send these brothers ahead to make sure the gift that you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift. Everybody say a willing gift. He says, I want it to be a willing gift, not one that's grudgingly. Remember this. Watch this, focus now, church. He says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives how? Cheerfully, verse 8. And then after you give, watch what he says. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others, as the scripture says. So here's a take-home statement, and I'm going to show you something that you may not have seen before. Favor is received when giving is freed. Everybody say, favor is received when giving is free. In other words, I want you to get a mental picture of this. Every time you give, guess what happens? Favor now is free to flow into your life. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about you're on your job and your coworker needs help. But you say, I ain't getting paid. Are they going to give me some of their check? I ain't helping. I got to go. I want to read verses 6 in the King James Version so I can point out this thing that you may not have seen before. He says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. He says, but every man according as he purposes where? In his heart. See, giving is about the heart. See, that's why some people who come to church, their hearts are wrong. Their hearts are bad because when the pastor makes them mad, they stop giving. You were giving for the wrong reason anyway. Keep your money. Yeah. See, when you grow up, look at your neighbor and ask him, are you a baby Christian? When you grow up, you know who you giving towards. Amen. Verse 7, every man, according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Watch verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. The word grace there is the same word favor that we read about with Mary. He says, and God is able to make all grace, not some grace. He says, all grace to do what? Abound towards you. Now, let me show you what that verse doesn't say. It didn't say, and God will make all grace abound towards you. It didn't say will. Why? Because everybody is not willing to follow the protocol to get the favor that God wants you to have. So that's why he says he is able to make all grace abound towards you. And this is what grace sounds like. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. And the whole point is that you can abound to every good work. And that's what most people flunk. They think that all of the increase that they get is for them, when some of what God blesses you with is for you to continue to do good work with. And even though the context of what we just read is talking about financially giving, the principle of sowing and reaping can apply to anything. Listen to Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. It said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that what? That which he sowed, he shall what, church? He shall reap. For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, and I'm going to show you what that looks like in just a second. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And then he says, and let us not be weary in doing what is right. For in due season we will reap if we don't faint. And then I love verse 10. He says, as you have opportunity, let us do good. To who? All men. But then he narrows it down and he says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So I'm about to read a testimony. And this testimony happened publicly. What happened one Sunday, I'm just giving you the context, I was closing service and as people were raising their hands, I say, I see your hand. And it was this one particular couple, I don't know if they raised their hand or not, but God spotted me. He told me to give a specific word to this couple. So what ended up happening is, by way of the Spirit, I prophetically said some things to them that were true. I didn't know them. They started crying right there on the spot. And what's amazing is, right after that, God says to me, send them on a vacation. Pay for the whole thing. And I think we even gave them some spending money too. So here's the testimony, because it ties into the principle of what I'm talking about right here. It says, good morning, my name is Don, and I'm sending this sincere thank you email on behalf of my husband and I. We want to sincerely thank Pastor Evan and beautiful First Lady Connor. I like that, beautiful First Lady Connor. She said, we want to thank them for blessing us by praying for our marriage, speaking life into our marriage, blessing us, listen church, with a honeymoon trip and funding marital counseling. We cannot express enough how appreciative and grateful we are and how excited we are for this trip. When Pastor Eben picked us out of many attendees to pray for our marriage, because God led him to, we had been attending Word of Truth for over a year. We had never met Pastor and had not even had joined the church. Our marriage was in a dark, unfamiliar place. We were struggling with communication, intimacy, finances, parenting together, and so forth. Pastor didn't know us or what we were going through. But despite our challenges, my husband and I desired our marriage. When Pastor Evan prayed for us and anointed us with oil, listen, church, it lifted a weight from us and reminded us that God was still in the midst of our 13-year marriage. To compound this blessing with a honeymoon is a true reflection of Pastor and First Lady Connor's giving heart and the culture, listen, they have created at Word of Truth Family Church. A few months ago, my husband and I waited after church to thank Pastor and First Lady again because our trip was approaching. And as we talked, I shared that we were so excited and really trying to get better with our communication and focus because we really wanted to enjoy this trip. Ain't nothing like going on a long trip fussing all the way. So Pastor Evan immediately shared that the church provides marriage counseling through professional counselors. Again, unexpected generosity and love that I didn't expect. The Alexanders have been amazing. We are so grateful for their counseling. We have completed 3 sessions and we'll have our last session after our trip. I truly can't wait. Listen to this. We have and continue to learn so much about ourselves, some good and not, some not so good, but we are positively growing. Our marriage is growing and being restored. So as we prepare to leave for 6 nights and 7 days, we wanted to send a huge thanks to Pastor Connor, First Lady, Mrs. Knox, Mallory Jones, the Alexander, and the entire Word of Truth Family Church. I truly am humbled by this trip and excited, but this entire experience, prayers, anointing, counseling, this unexpected generosity poured into us, our marriage has been life-changing. I cannot wait to send another email about our trip. And then they go on to say, we give glory to God. And you say, well, Pastor, why'd you read all that? Because I want you to understand something. Listen. It was our money that blessed them with a free vacation. That means we sowed seed to give them a free vacation. And people wonder how Sharice and I got a free trip from Gucci. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sow, that will he also reap. And I'm telling you, we got that trip because we sowed a trip. And here's the beautiful thing. Now you can expect a free vacation because it was your money too that helped them get that trip. Oh, y'all didn't get that, did you? See, you say, I don't believe that, Pastor. Don't. You don't have to. See, what God does, he will give us a principle from Scripture, and then he will give us a contemporary example of what that looks like. And I'm telling you, we just got a free trip to Italy. Well, if God can do it for me, wait a minute, let's start it this way. If God did it for them, and he used us to make that happen, then God will do it for us. And I'm saying to you, put your faith in action. Because a free vacation is on the way. Now let me say this. I ain't trying to hate, and I know I'm going to get some criticism on this part right here. Are you ready for this? Just hold on tight. Hold on. Hold on. Everybody who gave ain't going to get the free vacation though. You say, well, why is that, Pastor? Because if you, look, you can give and not be a tither, but you can't tithe and not be a giver. And see, some of y'all who gave some money but ain't no tithing, you ain't gonna get no trip. You know why? Because God don't bless thieves. Oh, yep. They not gonna put that one on a reel right there. That was too real to be on a reel. No. See, some of you, God can't bless you because he can't trust you. Here's a take-home statement. Great grace comes when giving is performed. Great grace. Everybody say great grace. So I'm going to end right here. Let's talk about how do we practice this thing. First of all, you must keep your magnet of faith pointing in the right direction. Remember I talked about how if it's going backwards, see, it's pushing away. Get your faith in gear. Don't let your fears keep you from obeying God. Amen. Number one, keep your magnet of faith pointing in the right direction. Some of you all may have to get away from some people. Here's number two. Repent if your giving towards God has been off. You can't give to others before you honor him. I'm going to say that again. Repent. Yeah, you've been off. Yeah, you off. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to me. Now look at your other neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you though. Yeah. I think he is. See, giving to God ain't a game. It's your way of honoring him. Here's number three. Keep your faith for favor alive by confessing 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 and then Proverbs 11:25, which says the generous will prosper and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. See, I'm trying to tell you, church, I'm going to pray. If you, okay, let me say it like this. I was going to say everybody who tithes stand up so I can pray this vacation on you, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. See, some of y'all just need to get yourself together right now. Just say, you know what, Lord, I was off because I'm about to pray a prayer. And here's what I believe. I believe that if you make your mind up right now that you're going to get your finances back right with God, you can now tap into that vacation. Because God looks at the heart, and if he knows our heart has changed, he's going to work it out for us. But here's what I specifically want to pray for you all about. There are some people who now qualify to get a free vacation. You see, some of y'all are thinking, well, Pastor, how is that going to happen? I don't know. Who talked to Gucci about me? Now listen, it is highly possible. I'm going to say that again. It is highly possible for you to get a free vacation if it was highly possible for me to get one from Gucci. Yeah. You said, well, Pastor, how's it going to happen? If you needed to know that, God would tell you. God may use your ex to bless you with a vacation. Oh, y'all don't understand. Okay, it's 10:31. See, some of y'all, you see, your mind is messed up. Because it's controlling your faith. Because when I said that, my ex, let me tell you something. Listen. We needed some special arrangements for one of our girls to stay extra with her dad for us to do this trip. Think about this. We go to the ex and say, hey, we got this trip coming up. This is what happened. This is the favor of God. And we need you to do. And they did do. When you got favor with an ex, you got favor with God. And you know what we told them? We'll bring you a gift from Gucci. Well, that's what I said. I ain't gonna tell you what First Lady said. First Lady was talking about, we'll bless you with some rocks. We'll bring some rocks back for you. I bought him a pair of Gucci socks. What's my point? You cannot limit who God's gonna use and how he's gonna use them to get the promise of God in your life. So how many would like a free vacation with some spending money? Can you get in agreement with me? Yeah. Keep your hand. In fact, just hold your hands like this right here, like you're receiving. In fact, if you're watching me, go ahead and put your hands out like this, because I believe that there are some free vacations coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Your Bible says that be not deceived, you will not be mocked, but whatever a man sows is what they're going to reap. And Lord, this church sowed a free vacation into that couple. And you've already started this process of free vacations because you started it with Sharice and I. And Lord, we already know whatever starts with the head will fall down and flow down into the body. And so, Lord, I declare and I get in agreement with every person who has decided that I'm a tither and God can trust me. And Lord, I pray that every person, Lord, let us make the news. Let us make the news that people will hear from all across this metroplex, that people at Word of Truth Family Church were getting free vacations. That Father, people will come and join the church because they want one too. And so Lord, I get in agreement with every person under the sound of my voice and those who are watching. And just like you put in my heart to pray and get in agreement with every person for them to have a free vacation, Lord, I decree it in their life. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And so Lord, we pray that you will release angels to go and minister to anybody that needs to be ministered to. We thank you for opening every door that needs to be opened so for us to receive this. And Lord, we thank you for causing resources to be used from places and people that we know not of. And Lord, I thank you that by the end of the year, Lord, we will have tans from sitting in the sun. And I thank you for the unusual taking place in their lives and in our lives. In Jesus' name, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord, I believe favor flows into my life. You said when I give, it shall be given back to me. And Lord, we gave toward that couple to get a free vacation. You said you wouldn't be mocked, but we will receive what we have sown. And so, Lord, I thank you right now for a free vacation. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know who it's coming from. That don't even matter, Lord. What matters, Lord, is the King's hand is in your heart. And you can turn it whatever way you will. So we receive right now. a free vacation. We're spending money to go. In Jesus' name. And if you believe that, begin to thank Him for it right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated quickly. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven?